On this week's show, discussing hyping field tech with Lance Aiken from Miller Davis Company. In this week's news, platforms in the cloud, the future of housing, building codes, and more.
Construction is the world's oldest industry but spends the least amount of money on innovation. When we realized people outside the construction industry didn't typically associate construction with technology like virtual reality, apps, and robotics, we started the ConTech Crew. Each week, we bring our listeners the latest in ConTech news and interview the minds behind the technological innovations changing the way we build. So strap in, enjoy the ride, and geek out. It's ConTech Crew time.
All right, we're back. I got my good buddy Ariel Castillo with me this morning. How you doing, Ariel?
Hey, Jeff. Excited to be back. You know, it's been a while and you just wanted to record with the crew, so really excited about this one.
Get off the road, get back to doing what we're doing. You know, it feels like we've done this before, haven't we?
Just a couple times.
That's an inside joke. Sometimes the host here forgets to hit the record button, so... You know, that's what happens. Lance, it's great to see you again and maybe start this again. Where are you coming to us from?
Yeah, good to see you there, man. Thanks for having me. Coming from Kalamazoo, Michigan down here, so a little warm outside, but glad to be on this here today with you.
Yeah, you know, we were rapping about that earlier, you know. It's not so bad to be on the podcast, Mike, when it's that hot out there.
No, you know, 92 and some humidity. I'm all right in the nice air-conditioned office today. I'm sure the field guys will give me a little bit of crap here for it, but that's all right.
Well, yeah, that's the life, right? You got to balance. You got to be the connection between the field and the office, and you know, that's the way it has to go. But hey, to all our field folks out there, it is coming summertime, so make sure you check in, stay safe, stay cool, don't overheat, take your breaks, and make sure you're hydrating, guys. Hydrate to all my fun field folks out there. Take care of yourselves this summer, right? We only have two seasons. We have conference season and construction season, and we're moving into construction season, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what it is. Summer hits.
We got to move. So sorry to everybody else out there trying to get in touch with anybody. You probably won't get them right now. Unless it's this hot, then you might get them to answer their phone and go into the trailer for a little bit of air conditioning.
I've seen that.
We'll be right back. First, we got to pause for the cause. I'm here with Sasha Reed from Procore.org, and we're here on the pause for the cause. I'm really interested, and I wanted to bring out some of the partnerships that we're adding here at the ConTech Crew. So why is it important for, you know, shows like ours and industry partners like you to really come together and tackle mental health awareness and the suicide issues that we have in the industry?
It's a great question. And I think the thing to keep in mind is whenever you're talking about something as substantial as suicide awareness and as alarming as to statistics around construction being the second highest rates of suicide in industry, we'd be fooling ourselves if we thought that this was a one-player fix, meaning that it just takes one silver bullet or one easy button to solve this challenge. This is a multi-threaded challenge, if you will, and it's really something that is the responsibility of all of us to lean in, to raise awareness, to provide tools and resources, to up-level conversations we have around, you know, I mean, in construction, we're pretty much, hey, what's my job require me to get it done at any cost? Well, we now see what the outcome of that is. So I think it's important that we partner together to really have a unified voice around why mental health awareness is important, why it matters, and how we can frankly do better as an industry. It takes each of us leaning in to really create that.
I think you're absolutely right. And that's why we're changing the name of the cause for the show for the pause for the cause, so that we can really go after not just, and we're not leaving preventconstructionsuicide.com and Cal Buyer. You know, Cal started us on this awareness path. And, it, you know, to me, it's like, you know, we've been looking at the symptoms for so long. It's time to look at the source of the problem itself. And so that's what we're going to be doing here at the Pause for the Cause. You never know who's going to show up. If you're listening in and you have resources and you want to bring it to us, bring it to us. This is a free partnership. It's going to take us all pulling in the right direction. And it's what I'm passionate about here and what I think the entire crew is, and you at Procore.org are as well. So you just go to Procore.com/safety-qualified. But watch, we might soon have some more resources on theContechCrew.com. Sasha, it is so awesome to sit down with you. I'm excited for our partnership. And listen, I want to let everybody listening in know that there are resources at Procore, but there's always preventconstructionsuicide.com. Or if you need help right now, dial 988 or text from your mobile phones for instant help. All right. Remember, we're back on YouTube. Check us out at youtube.com/@thecontechcrew. That's right. We got new shorts. We've got our whole episodes. You can watch them through. You can pretend you're working and you can listen in all you want. We got great shorts that come out on LinkedIn, but if you want them right to your inbox before I even post them, well, then you got to subscribe. So hit that subscribe button and be the first to know. I'm here with Robert Scheer, VP of Strategy and Business Development for OpenSpace. Robert, tell us a little bit about what is OpenSpace.
OpenSpace is a 360 job site capture, review, and tracking tool. Think of it as an up-to-the-minute Google Street View of your project that people can view anywhere, anytime. Some people also refer to it as like total project recall, right? So what if you could have a photographic memory for all your projects for all time in case something came up in the future? So that's really what it is. Hey, how do you use it? Let me grab my camera. You simply just attach a 360 camera to your hard hat, open our app on your phone, open the floor plan, tap where you are and walk. We take care of the rest. So as you walk, we take two 360 images per second. You come back, upload them to the cloud, and we process that all together, stitch them together, pin all those images to your plans, and deliver it back to you as the navigable 360 environment for everyone to use and share. And typically, we deliver it back to you in like 30 to 60 minutes.
All right, we're back. Lance Akin, General Superintendent at Miller Davis Company, but also better well known as the Hype Man. How you doing, Lance?
Good, good. Yeah, it's try to keep the notifications out there for us, right? Keep us in the news, hype us up, hype the field up, Miller Davis and everything we do. So, you know, try to put everybody's efforts out there and show what they've been doing, show what our company's been doing too. So.
Everybody loves a good hype, man, and it's important for the industry, right? We gotta get out there, show off a little bit. It's a pretty cool industry to be in. So before we dive into what hype man and what you're doing at Miller Davis, tell us a little bit about how you got here.
Yeah, so being a small town kid with family members in the trades, I always knew I kind of wanted to get into buildings. So coming out, I went to Ferris State University and got my architectural technology degree along with a construction management degree. So it kind of got me well-rounded there with, you know, being able to understand what's going on in the minds of all of our architects and engineers, but also being able to understand the construction side of it. And then ended up being a carpenter for about 10 years. Was actually worked for a large-end custom home builder. It was residential, but it was my first one was a 22,000 square foot, $60 million home. So residential with a little bit of commercial going on there, you know. So, but then started here at Miller Davis and 2019 as a superintendent, moved up to general superintendent a few years back. And, you know, kind of, I do a little bit of everything. I'm working with safety. I'm working with our field staff on implementing different procedures and what we do and making sure, everything safe wise is being followed. But then also working with our field, our office staff to let them know what's going on in the field, what they need and kind of, you know, providing that bridge between the two.
Your background kind of gives you that, right? We got the architectural, the construction management, and then, you know, being a carpenter and understanding how work gets put in place, it gives you that ability to sort of bridge the gap. And we need that in the industry, right?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. That was a great thing for me. You know, I wasn't sure when the first 10 years started I was doing it, but I wouldn't change it for anything at this point.
Yeah, and it helps. I mean, it helps with that perspective of, you know, some of the misconceptions, right? That how, you know, we hear so much that, oh, the field doesn't want technology, the field's resistant, all of those things. But that's not really been your experience, has it?
No, actually, I've had quite the opposite experience. You hear that a lot. They're just construction guys or they're just construction people. You know, they're not going to want to jump onto their iPhones or iPads or whatever it is, their computers and do this. But I think it's like anything else. I've had great success with the field personnel and showing them how useful this technology can be for us, whether it's a scheduling platform, a project management platform, whatever it is, and showing them how much quicker we can do things, how much easier it is to do it. You don't have to spend 10 hours, you know, writing stuff down. You don't have to get 30 cases of red pens to do your drawing updates and things. It's automatic, right? You know, one of the struggles we've always had has been a lot of the paperwork that comes in. Well, now when you show them it's all digital and they can pull it up anywhere, man, the buy-in, their eyes light up. They see how much quicker they're going to be and more effective they're going to be at their job. You know, whether it's a 60-year-old guy that's been doing it for 40 years or whether it's the person fresh out of college or fresh out of high school, I've had great success on both ends of that spectrum.
Yeah, it's really about providing value, right? And that's critical to it. And it's interesting because this is going to be a special episode for us. So before I kick it over to Ariel, we're kind of previewing, and I'm going to call this like the prequel to what Ariel's going to do on stage with another member of the more of the office side of Miller Davis on presenting at AGC IT Forum on sort of the platform and what you've done and what you've provided. So I thought it'd be great, and Ariel thought it'd be great if we brought the recipient of that technology of that to the stage to see it. So that's the role that Lance plays. And so if you don't know the AGC IT Forum, folks, go check it out. If you haven't heard about it in the last 7 years, well, then you're a new listener. And if you're a new listener, we're excited to have you. So go check out, just to do a quick search for the AGC IT Forum and check it out. Come join us because Ariel's going to be on stage talking about the other half of this. So I'm interested, Ariel, kind of, you know, from that perspective, you know, what have you been doing with Lance? What have you guys been doing at Miller Davis?
Well, I have to say, I enjoy working with Lance because he makes my job super easy, man. That's the reality. Having somebody that has that field experience and that understands the importance of implementing technology makes it so easy to transition all this information and all this knowledge and all these implementations in the office down to the field, which is typically where, you know, our industry is lacking. And I agree with Lance, people want to implement technology, but also why is it so difficult? I think it has to do with the fact that people on the job site understand that, you know, their job is measured on how much job they get done on the field. And you need to explain them that you're not adding another task by implementing tech, but they're just trying to find a way to make it easier for them. So if you don't communicate that properly, that, you know, it's not well received because they think they have to do more stuff to do the same things. So that's why I'm excited to bring Lance today, because he's going to talk a lot about that and, you know, what's the right way to communicate that, what strategies we can use, and you will love him as a guest.
Well, tell us, I mean, we kind of covered a little bit of the high end, but tell us some of the success stories, some of the ways that this has worked out for you, Lance, so that people can kind of dig into it. Because everybody's looking for that thing they can do with their company. So give somebody a nugget that they might be able to do that you've seen really help you out.
Yeah. So, you know, the construction schedules aren't getting any longer, right? You know, if anything, these schedules are getting shorter. The milestones are staying more concrete. You know, one of the sectors we really work in is the K-12 education sector. So we end up doing a lot of school work, a lot of bond work and things like that. And you talk about a crunch time when you get school, when you're out of school, like we're getting close to right now, and then, you know, school starts up in August. That's all you get. There's no extension of that. If you're getting into a building and do a remodel, man, that's, you're looking at 35 working days going, holy crap, how am I going to do this or whatever it is. So, you know, this has really helped us be more effective. One of the things that used to happen, right, is RFIs would take days, weeks to try to get answers back, get the approved cost once you get that and everything else. One success story we had, I was working on an elementary project and we were doing brand new parking lot, but digging up a lot of existing parking lot, not knowing what the existing soils were necessarily going to be. So we got into an area that had a ton of soils that had to get removed as we're trying to put concrete down, trying to put new asphalt down and things like that. So we were able to, in the morning at about 8:30, found all these unsuitable soils. We go in, we get a quick takeoff of them with the excavator, do an RFI by, you know, 9:30. We get the answer back by 10:30. We had pricing by before lunch, got approved right after lunch, and we were back doing the work and getting the stuff ready to go to do a concrete pour the very next day. So, you know, if you looked at that 5 years ago or even, you know, in that time frame, that could have taken a week in your schedule. And when you're, like I said, when you're doing these K-12s or higher ed or even any sector you want to get into, there's deadlines and you got to meet them. So, you know, like I said, those schedules aren't getting any longer. If anything, they're compressing them. So how do we become more effective, more efficient with what we're doing, and these really implementing the technology we have has helped us do that. So yeah, probably one of the best ones.
Let's be honest, in the old days, you would have, you know, done what you could do, sent it off, And you probably would have taken the risk to go ahead and do it, right?
Yeah.
And then you're taking a whole bunch of risk on your shoulders.
Yep.
Because it doesn't have the opportunity to push schedule, right? You just don't have that anymore. So that's a huge risk reduction for Miller Davis in the end. And that's because we know what we do. We take a lot of risks in this business, and we should be taking the very calculated ones. And it's great to see the information flow back that quickly.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Being able to have that has been huge.
Talking about that success story, I want to focus a little bit, and not to be on the negative side, but just to be, you know, just to be open about it, is tell us a little bit about those misconceptions or resistance points that you have seen on the field, and how can companies address them effectively?
Yeah, so from our end, right, we deal with a lot of subcontractors, and you can have resistance from the actual foreman. As a superintendent, you're dealing with, you know, 12, 15, as many as 20 different contractors. And how do you get buy-in from everybody? And how do you get rid of that resistant point? So it's been tough for us. The biggest thing I can say and a tip to do is find those certain contractors that are going to help you push it, that are going to have buy-in, because, you know, maybe they're already tech savvy. Maybe their company's using something, or you two just have a good relationship, so you can, you know, talk to them a little more and get their buy-in, and get them to help push everybody else. You know, we're talking about summer here, and lawns got to be mowed, right? Well, there's no such thing as peer pressure as your neighbor going out and mowing their lawn and you deciding, oh, crap, I got to go do mine now, you know? So you get a couple, you know, urban dads, and they're going to have some fights over whose lawn looks better. So it's the same idea here. If you get people to push that through well, they're doing it, I need to do it, right? Look how easy it is. Look how much he's doing. Look what they're doing with it. Okay, I'm going to do it too. I'm not going to be the person left behind. I'm not going to be the company left behind. I'm not going to be the dad with the weeds in my lawn. I need to get rid of my dandelions, right? So it's a good way to get that and have that buy-in for them.
When I had a lawn, I used to pay my kids per dandelion to get rid of them.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. I mean, dime a dandelion, right?
My lawn, it had to be a penny, to be honest. It was pretty nuts.
You know, Lance, that reminds me, you know, that healthy competition, it's pretty interesting. And connecting it with the question that Jeff had about success stories, tell us a little bit about, you know, lean construction practices and how we've been able to digitize that and getting the buy-in from the subs as well.
You know, doing a lot of pole planning and things like that, of what used to be sticky notes on a board or on a page that you put up on your trailer wall, right? And if you took it down, it's out of everybody's mind. So we've done a couple different ways of how to do that digitally and have it be real time. At first there was a lot of hesitancy with it and not knowing how it was going to work. Man, it seems like it's a lot of work I got to put in, but it's upfront work that you're already doing. We're already asking for schedules. We're already having you plan that out. So all you're doing is putting that into a program now, and it's real time. You can access it anywhere. You could access it in your living room while you're having a drink at the end of the day, if you wanted to see it. You can access it from another job site if you're a couple weeks off, and getting that has been extremely helpful for us. So showing them that why it may seem like more work up front, once you start using it and the project's going through and you can access that no matter where you're at, see where the job site's at, see how many people are there. For us, it made it way less work for doing those 4-week look ahead schedules and everything, because it's already on there. The contractors have put in their dates, they put in their crew size, they put in what areas they're working in. Bam, you run a couple reports, couple clicks on the mouse, and your schedule's done. We had the rough buy-in from even our side with, man, now I got to do another schedule. Now I got to find another way of doing it. All of a sudden, they realized it took 30 seconds to click the mouse twice, and I'm done. It goes back to that again of showing how it helps them. How is it going to make it better for them? How is their life going to become easier for this? And I tell you what, we had that job, that same one I'm talking about. We had half the building to demo. We had an addition to connect to it. We had half the building to renovate all within one summer and put in 3 new parking lots on this school. And that lead technology system we used and that pole planning system we used, man, that was a lifesaver. Being able to see it, have everybody see it and go through and do it was awesome. It really helped us out the entire way, from the owner, from the architect, all the way down to our people in the field. They can pull up that system and see what room, what wing, what side of the wall they're supposed to be on if you get it dialed in, so they can know exactly where they're supposed to be and at what time and how long.
That hits a couple of lean principles there too, right? You were doing all of that planning previously, like that was an implemented process, but now you're just amplifying it with technology and allowing the teams to do something. I think that's a That's a fabulous example of where it's people, it's process, and then it's really good technology that amplifies it ahead. Man, like being able to plan those crews, and then if a problem happens, right, you can adjust.
Yeah, and we did it all the time. I mean, you know, whether, okay, we found something we didn't know, crew size didn't show up, and this was right during the height of COVID too. So, oh crap, a crew got COVID. Where do we go? What do we move people? How do we get it done? So it was, instead of them having to come to the trailer, talk to us, get us on the phone, whatever it was, they could log right in, like I said, from anywhere, from their office, from their house, wherever they're working, and they could move stuff around. It would show what it would hurt, what it would adjust, who needed to be talked to. It was awesome for us. It made life so much easier.
Construction is never going to be a fully remote world, right? But so much of the pressure and the problems that we create in construction is because you have to physically be there. Like that field superintendent, that foreman, they feel as though they have to be there. And I think they let other parts of their lives go. I'm wondering if you're seeing, you know, the culture that's influencing at the company, allowing it to spread their wings a little bit. They can be away from a problem like that and know they can react to it. So if they're at, you know, if you've got them with the right iPads, and I'm hoping you've got them with the right iPads, they could be sitting at their son or daughter's softball game or baseball game and be, you know, oh, we got a problem. Well, we'll just fix that and I'll go back to my game now. And so I'm interested in how the culture of Miller Davis is really being reflected by that.
You can really tell, in my opinion, what you have as an office and what you have as a culture and a leadership inside your office by what your job looks like. It's everything. It boils down from communication between us and other trades and the office to the field. If there's good communication there, you're going to see a happy field guy, and he's going to make that communication go out rightly to the rest of the people on the job as well. And then you're going to have a good job site. So you can feel the job sites that don't have good leadership. You can walk in, you know, that tension is there. It hits you in the face. It's, you know, it's one of those things where you're like, oh man, we got to figure something out. So, you know, we really strive here to give people the freedom to do the different things, whether it's the remote work or whether it's making sure they have family time. That's something we really like to do as a culture here at Miller Davis. And this is technology has helped us do that. It's helped us from making the dailies and the scheduling and things they do every day quicker. So they get out of the job trailer quicker. They get home quicker. Wife's happy. Husband's happy. Kids are happy, whatever it is, right? So, you know, you used to have this resentment a little bit, not that I've seen here, but at other places where the field and the office, there was always that tension that rubbed, where the field people would be like, man, that office, they, you know, 9 to 5 and they go home. They don't deal with this stuff. You know, can't reach anybody after 4 o'clock. I'm working my butt off. I'm here at 6. I leave at 5. Well, being able to shrink that to where you don't have that as much, right? Where you're showing that we're going to give the field all the tools we can give you to make your life easier and make it better, just like we have here. So that boils down from the top leadership we have. They have full buy-in. You know, in my role, I got to have full buy-in to what we have. I can't sell something I don't believe in. And right now, everything we have, I believe in using. I've used it. I go through it. Ariel and I have had, I couldn't tell you how many meetings of looking at different products and processes and things. And this is what we're going to do because everybody here buys it in and we can help push that into the field. You know, we even bring some of our superintendents in and I'll show them something that we're looking at, and you can get a good sense right away whether they're going to like it or not, or whether it's going to take a little bit of coaxing to get them into it. So I would say the culture here has really helped push that all the way from the leadership buying into it all the way down to the person swinging a hammer in the field.
Yeah, that has to lean into you a little bit on allowing you to have the flexibility to go look at those things.
Man, I'm thinking about what Lance said, the amount of times that we have met. And if you think about this, that's the continuous improvement of the processes that we have there. And sometimes it is something very simple as your dailies. And you see how they, now you need more information, or how there's data that you can probably collect that you were not collecting in the past, or data that is no longer relevant. So let's say we're not collecting as much COVID data as we were in the past. So when you open up a form, that was the first question that will pop right there. Now we are changing it to reflect more of the information that we actually need. Now we know that, you know, safety needs to also be documented digitally, and how we are like changing all the forms that we had. Lance is playing a big role there. So I'm interested to see what you can share with everybody else when it comes to the safety side and digitizing that process, those processes as well.
there's always the forms that have to be filled out, whether it's through MyOSHA, OSHA, whatever you're doing, you have to show those daily reports. And there used to be a ton of paperwork. Everything had to be formed. It was, you know, duplicates or whatever you had to do. So we've found a way between Ariel and myself and others here to where we can digitize that and have those questionnaires and everything filled out right online. So everything's available by the click of a mouse rather than, okay, how many files do I have to dive in to find the PDF, print it out, walk around with it? You know, our field staff is really able to go through and do it without hesitation, without having to worry about, oh, shoot, where's my paperwork? Did I have it? Am I looking at the right thing? They can walk, again, the iPads that Ariel's got us and we have as a company has really helped us just walk around with that. And you can look at everything. You can take pictures. You can put it all where you need to put it and run through it. So it has really helped us with that aspect of being real time, being out in the field and running through that. So I don't know, man, it's just, I love using it. Technology has been easy for me to buy into and run through and do without thinking that it's going to cause me more of a headache. I don't want to have to call somebody, rely on somebody bringing me paperwork, printing something off or something like that. So we have all of our forms online, daily reports, OSHA reports, everything is ready to go. Incidents, accidents, whatever it is, we can get it at the click of a mouse. So
Lance, as the forms get filled out in real time, that's really providing sort of an overview for the office. So I'm wondering how the office is then kind of picking up that ball in court and using it to understand where, you know, maybe where the job site is, you know, to keep your eyes across, because you got a bunch of jobs running at the same time, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like our PMs are running, you know, multiple jobs, and then the project executives are running, you know, even more on top of that. So, you know, I have a lot of communication back and forth with our executives as far as their projects, their PMs, what their superintendents are doing. You take the good with the bad, because there is the PXs walking up to me going, hey, did you see this? Did you see this on the daily? It just came through. Did they fix this? Is it here? Is it there? You know, so they're seeing it real time, man. There's no delay within it. So as soon as it's getting filled out, I'm getting questions. If I'm in the office, like it's like, hey, or did we see this? But it really does help them be up to date with their job without having to be out on the job, because some of them are a good distance. You know, we have a couple jobs at Michigan State and we're an hour and a half away from there. So having the PM be able to see the real-time pictures, the real-time daily, the real-time knowledge of what's happening, and be able to have those questions with the superintendent and talk about it rather than, okay, hold on, I'll see you in 2 hours. You know, and with construction season, as you said, in Michigan, I mean, that 2 hours could be three, four. You don't know, depending on how many orange flowers have popped up along the way. So it's been the real-time knowledge back and forth and real-time information has been huge for us to be able to keep up to date. So when they get a question from the owner, they can answer it, you know, knowledgeably and effectively right away at that time. They don't have to say, do the, yeah, I think we're there, but let me find out. It's boom, boom, boom. We have it. We're good to go.
Well, yeah, you're managing your relationships with that. It's no fun to have that project executive come looking for why we're here, why we're there, why this, why that. But really, right, they're getting prepared. They've got a ton of jobs running and they don't know which owner is going to call them. And that's never a fun call to be caught without the information at your fingertips. So yeah, you might have to answer a few questions, but at least when the owner calls them, they already know about it and they can say, I'm already on top of it within, you know, by the time the owner figures it out, it's usually like a day or two. So, and you've already got it solved. So that's a heck of a better conversation than wait, let me start flipping through my paperwork and and I'll get back to you.
Yeah, between that and honestly, like having the fresh eyes from my perspective is nice. So the PM doesn't see it every day. The project executive doesn't see it every day, but they see the dailies. They see the photos that are uploaded every day. So when you're so close to something, you can't see the whole picture. So with the PMs and the PX is able to be there and see it without being on site and without being involved in the nitty gritty day to day, it really helps the perspective change on the project. I mean, they're going to see something that the superintendent didn't. You know, you avoid a lot of maybe issues that could come up by having that different perspective and seeing it from a different angle and asking the questions of, have you thought about this upcoming work? I see this is going on, but do you have this? You know, that's the benefits of the tool. That's where it really comes into play and helps us.
Lance, I'm going to connect it to, you know, as we said, we are in construction season, which is, you know, summer is where it gets heavy, but summertime is also intern season. We have a lot of interns working with us. Also, you know, new project engineers, and those are coming from a newer, or let's say a younger generation, which is tech savvy. They understand technology and they're embracing it, I would say, faster. So just wondering, how does it feel and what do you think about this younger generation jumping on the field as well?
It's pretty unique. I mean, we've been going through it for a few years here, right? With a generation who grew up with phones and grew up with computers and grew up with iPads, where I watched my niece, who's 2 the other day, she just walked up to her mom's phone, flipped it, touched it a couple times, and now she's taking pictures and selfies and Snapchatting. And I'm like, okay, you're 2. What? How? Why are you doing this? You know, where you go, where my parents' generation and my dad had a flip phone till like a year and a half ago. So you can, the difference that happens there, you really get a good blend of a younger generation who's grown up with it and they are a little more intuitive to where to go next, where maybe our older generation, you can get buy-in, but it's going to take them a little bit to understand it or want to click that next step. So you get those two together. You get an older generation who's really teaching you the hard basic skills of what's going on, how to maybe deal with people, how to get buy-in from other trades, how to have that bedside manner that you really need to have as a superintendent or as a field person. But then you get this younger generation who's coming in and showing, well, this is how easy it is to do this technology. This is how we can go through and make that happen. Sometimes they get a little click happy. They're thinking they know where the next thing's going to come from without taking a step back. Right. So, I mean, Ariel, I think we've talked about that last couple of weeks, but sometimes they go through and they just rip it out, whatever you ask them to do. And you're like, okay, but what did you learn from what you just did? Or, hey, you missed these steps because you didn't take a second to think and take a step back. So the blend of the two generations, that older generation explains to them what they're learning, how to take that step back, how to take a second. You may know where you're going, but make sure you see where you're going, you know, to stop and smell the roses per se. Make sure you see something and get the full picture of where you're at. Don't just slam through something because you know you can.
I'm thinking about submittal logs, man, and how those were, you know, hundreds of pages that we need to go through, make, you know, pick them up and say, okay, we need to get this product data, this sample, so on. Now we're using tech that you just upload the PDFs. It consumes the data and spit out a log. But again, there's a lot of information there that's probably, it's not finalized, right? We need to review that. And I think that's, you know, they get trigger happy and they think they're done. It's like, no, wait, we need to think about this. What does this mean for the job?
Yeah, I can think of one of our superintendents, and Ariel, you'll probably know who I'm talking about, but I'm not going to name names on it. You know, he's mid-50s and submittal log, submittal list, Excel. I mean, he gets it. He'll use it. But it's not his favorite. So I remember when we first used our submittal program and he found out he could take the entire spec book that's 500 pages, throw it into a PDF viewer, and boom, within, I don't know, 20 minutes, he has his entire submittal log out. I mean, his eyes lit up like that. He goes, that was a week's worth of work. Yeah, we just did it in 4 hours. But you also have the same point where the young kid's going to go, oh yeah, I'm done. I got everything. Well, hey, warranties don't need to be in the submittal log, or we're not doing underwater construction. We don't need air tank reviews in this one. That was a boiler spec, right? So it's kind of those things where, again, that blend, right? So that the older guy, the older person is going to really understand what we need on this project, but the younger generation is going to show them how we can make ourselves more efficient from this technology. They're going to be a little quicker to jump on it.
I like that, because I'm hoping then that the senior superintendent just turns around and is like, all right, would you guys stop throwing generic specs into this? Because now we're catching it. You'd never catch it before. Well, you didn't have time, right? You just ignored it. Now you have time to be like, all right, look, like, who did these specs, guys? We're not underwater. We're nowhere near water. Like, we've never been, like, what are you, you know? So maybe we could. Garbage in, garbage out is a big one, and I think calling each other on our garbage might be a good one. Like, that's a, hey guys, like, how about we care about the specs we write now, and we go to a spec writer or somebody who cares, and maybe we can actually, instead of having a bunch of fluff, we can have some serious alternates as we go through. I don't know, maybe a supply chain issue. There might be one out there somewhere. I
haven't seen any of those. I mean, it's been real easy to get stuff these days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. You need electrical panels? Yeah, I'll get them to you tomorrow.
Like, yeah, 56-week lead time, no big deal.
Yeah, no.
See you next spring.
I have a funny story about the garbage in, garbage out. So now part of our process when we are creating submittal logs is that once we put it in the system and it comes out with that report, we share it with the AE first. So we don't push it into the project management platform. We want them to review them. And they ended up deleting, I would say, probably like 50, 60%. And then they send the email back and say, why did you come up with this submittal log? And I'm like, it just came from respect, man. So, you know, it's garbage in, garbage out.
Let me put up a mirror for you. Do you see yourself in it? Because this crap came out of your system. And by the way, you guys are protecting the non-innocent when it comes to the software side of things. Here on the show, you're allowed to talk about any of it. We are big fans of all of it, so you don't have to call it that program. Feel free to drop names because they love it and they listen. So it's a unique perspective on sort of getting rid of waste. I mean, what's lean all about in construction? I mean, it's not like manufacturing where, you know, you have one organization that's got, you know, its supply chain kind of tightened up and it's producing its own thing. This is a group effort, right? It's never going to be integrated into one group. We saw Katerra try that and, you know, we saw how that went. It might happen someday. I mean, in one of my articles coming up, there's some areas where we're going to consolidate, but honestly, like that's that lean process, Lance. And I think I hope that you're seeing that actually helps the quality, the process, the speed in which you can do things.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've really been able to, you know, you talk about buy-in from the field that we've talked a little bit about throughout this, kind of been woven through it. But when you can have a contractor pull up the spec, pull up examples, and know what their quality is supposed to be and know what they're supposed to be seeing, know what product's supposed to be on there, what submittal was approved, what color was approved, what product was it, who was the manufacturer, all those things that they can see as soon as they have a delivery. They don't have to, okay, I'll accept the delivery, now I'll go look at my paperwork. Oh man, I just got 8 things of brick that aren't the right brick. Now I got to call Belden back and get it, whatever. You know, it can go right then and there. They don't have to unload it from the truck. You don't have to take 4 hours. You can look at the shipping log. You can get everything corrected, ready to go and off and put where it needs to go. I mean, you can even stage it in the right areas, right? So you're taking stuff off a truck, putting it in the building, in the area where it goes. You're not having, you're lessening your trips. You're lessening that, again, that waste, right? Like how long does it take the guy to walk down, go to the other side of the building, grab a bucket of mud, you come over, oh shoot, that's the wrong mud. Turn around, go do it all over again and come back. You're not always working in a 100 square foot area. You're working in thousands and thousands of square feet, multiple floors. You know, you're going up and down elevators. So if you don't get the right stuff put in the right area, it can hurt time. It can hurt production. It can hurt quality. And when production is going down, when that schedule is getting tight, that's when you see quality go down. So anything we can do to try to help give you the right amount of time, the more time to be effective, to be productive and have quality be great is helpful for us.
Yeah. I mean, that's sort of one of those things. People are always like, oh, technology can't really help productivity. It doesn't swing a hammer. It doesn't do this. Well, actually, it can put the right material in the right place so that a crew can continue to operate at their normal pace. They're just not. And we've seen this. It's like it's ridiculous. I think it's only like 35% on average of our field team's time is actually spent in front of the tool or installing. The other 65% is spent trying to find stuff and figure out what you're supposed to do, right? That's where the productivity problems can really be impacted by technology, is right materials in the right place, you know, understanding and shipping things back so you don't have a crew standing around.
Absolutely. Knowing that your material is there, they're able to look on, see deliveries that happen, see pictures of the material on site if they're not there. And they know when they show up with 15, 20 people and your crew's ready to rock, you're ready to rock. You're not showing up there going through safety, think you're ready, and you realize, I don't even have the right paint. I don't even have paint here, you know, or whatever it is. Now you're sending everybody back, find a new job for them. You know, I deal with that on our side too. I deal with all of our trades and all our people going to job sites. So the more productive we can be, the more effective we can be, and the knowledge we can have prior to getting to the job site, man, that makes life great. When I can pull up a detail on a project, go over it with the superintendent, go over it with the foreman, and they can go over it with the crew before they even step foot, man, they're ready to go. They're rocking and rolling as soon as they step a foot out of the truck. They're not wasting time by going in and talking about details. They're not wasting time by walking around trying to find their material. They're not wasting time from having the wrong tools. You know, they know what should happen and what should take place.
At the Contech Crew, we focus on technology that solves industry problems, and we've always believed in our sponsors. So much so that I went to work for one of them. So today, I want to talk to you about Join. Every construction project is a unique prototype, and it's actually shaped by thousands of decisions that impact the owner's business case, design, and the budget. Today, the communication driving these decisions is disjointed across all the stakeholders. Work happens in email, Excel, estimating, resulting in delays, waiting for decisions, waiting for access to information, and sometimes that information is outdated and incomplete. Managing the expectations of the team and keeping the project moving forward is a constant challenge, and a lot of times drives skepticism amongst the contributors. Join empowers general contractors to build with confidence and maximize the potential of every project by connecting these owners through new workflows that fit into your existing processes. We bring design teams and trade partners into a single platform. There's transparency and collaboration in the decision making, which builds trust and sets projects up for success. You might be asking yourself, do you need another tool? Well, let me tell you, Join fits in seamlessly with your processes and your other tools. In fact, we're here to help those other tools. Regardless of your estimating system or your project management process, Join will be a valuable added resource without disrupting those other systems and your teams. Check out Join, the collaborative project delivery platform for the built environment. Learn more at join.build.
I'll preface this. So Ariel, I'm going to be asking this question at AGC IT Forum, but when those crews are sitting around, especially when they're, you know, your trade contractors, right? If they are standing around because you did not deliver the material, that triggers a whole bunch of other, you know, they're looking for legal. They have to go to their contract and hit you with delays. And I'll be honest, like I work with a lot of the trades and they're happy to adjust, especially ahead of time, because everybody wants them, right? There's tons of work to be done, but it triggers a whole bunch of other waste if you do have that problem, right? And that's a cost to everybody, your owner, you guys, the trade themselves. And workers don't want to sit around and not work. Like, let's be honest, they're craftspeople for a reason. They want to build stuff, not stand around.
You were talking about culture earlier, right? So let's you take out of the office, you take care of that big, but you talk about just microculture that happens on the job site. If they're productive and they have the right tools and they have the right material and the superintendent and the foreman of the job knows that that area is going to be ready for them, they want to come to your job. It's a happy job. It's a fun job. People are enjoying coming to work. They're working longer hours because you know what? I'm happy being here. It's not a drag through the day. It's not 5 weeks or 5 days of Mondays during the week. It's almost like a Monday and four Fridays, right? So like you really get to see that experience, and man, it's, you get people who want to come back to work for your company. You get people who specifically call you out and say, I will work jobs that this person is on. I will work jobs. I may not like the architect. I may not like the engineer or the design company, but when I see the building company on it, when I see Miller Davis's name, when I see that superintendent's name, I'm going to that job because I know it's going to be ran right. I know it's going to be ran well, and I know it's going to be fun.
Well, that's a huge competitive advantage right now. Trade contractors are at a premium and schedules at a premium and just getting labor. And so if you can stand out in that process, that gives that project executive the ability to bid more work and show up and look those owners in the face and be like, yeah, they might give you that bid, but I'm going to show up with the A-team and we're going to deliver. So I honestly want to continue this on, and I'm going to let Ariel ask one more question to kind of wrap her up. But I want to quote you, and I'm going to keep that. Let's create job sites that are one Monday and four Fridays. That's an awesome one. Miller Davis should be your tagline on your job sites now. So that's awesome, man. Ariel, what final questions do you kind of want to set up, especially seeing that, you know, we're going to continue this conversation at the AGC IT Forum?
At AGC IT, we'll be presenting a really interesting conference addressing the importance of building that culture. And we are going to address our experience as we did last year, but this time we're going to share the details, like, you know, what worked, what didn't. We want to make sure that people know about that. As you know, it's better to learn from other people's mistakes. So we're going to put them out there so that they know. And we're open to feedback. We're going to open the floor for more questions and all that. And addressing the, you know, the culture side, I know Lance touched a little bit on it, but just want to remind people on how a construction job site serves as a reflection of your company culture. What can you share there?
Yeah, we touched a little bit on that, right, Ariel? And I think when you find job sites and you find field personnel that are happy when they get to work, enjoy what they do, and you can tell it's not just it's another job for them, right? It's actually a career. You're building something. You're building your future. You're not just building the future for the community you're in. You're actually enjoying building the future for what you're doing in the company you're with. That's what you want to have as a company. That's a culture you want to have. You want people who see themselves with you for 20, 30, 40 years. Hey, I'm going to start here and I'm going to end here. That used to be something during my parents' generation that was big. Like my dad worked for Ford Motor Company as an electrician for 44 years. My grandfather worked for Ford Motor Company for 46 years. You don't see that as much anymore. You see people jumping jobs. You see them jumping careers. So when you can build that culture here, when you can build that at your company that people want to come to work and want to do the best that they can do to build a future, that's what you want to have. And that starts at the top with the buy-in of what you're using and all the way down to your job site and how you're going about your job site and how those people feel on it and making it a fun, you know, go back to that quote, one Monday, four Fridays. That's what we want in the office. That's what we want in the field. That's what we want our people to have. So, you know, we've had really good luck here. We've had a good leadership staff that's helped with that, that's had buy-in for what we want to do and listens to the field. They listen to everybody out there to hear what their struggles are, to hear where we can make changes, where we can adapt and how we can do it better. We're not just implementing things to implement them, right? You know, Ariel Jack, I think, had this conversation with us before. He knew a guy who got hit by somebody that put a weed whacker motor on a bicycle, but it had no brakes. So yeah, the bike moved faster, but there's no brakes. So how are you going to stop? I mean, all it does is make you hit the wall, right? So it's technology isn't something to implement just because you can implement it. And we've done a great job of having buy-in from the top down and listening to the people in the field and listening to our workers to understand what we can do to make it the best possible solution.
Yeah, I think that's the way to end it right there, is that, you know, it starts from the top and creating a culture, and it ends up in the field, and then the field gets to bring that back to the office. So if you guys want to hear the other half of this, you're going to have to join us live at the AGC IT Forum, where Ariel is going to bring the rest of the team onto the stage to talk about how this actually started at the top and how you support a culture of innovation and change and trying things out. But let's be honest, still delivering work, still being profitable, and still getting things done. It's really, it's never going to be replacing that. So Lance, thanks for joining us on this section. You're going to stick with us on the news because, well, we got to talk about the construction technology news of the week. And I'm back with Robert Scheer, VP of Strategy and Business Development for OpenSpace. There's a lot of reality capture out there, a lot of 360 products out there. What really sets OpenSpace apart?
From the start, we really focused on speed and simplicity. If you want your field teams to use stuff, it better be easy, it better be fast. And so our focus is 100% on making life easier for people to build stuff. All our advanced tech is wrapped in a really super simple experience. It just works the first time, every time. And it works at the speed of construction, which to us means getting things turned around in, you know, less than an hour, so that if you walk at 7 in the morning, by 8 o'clock, you can share that with your team and you can coordinate work and kind of track issues.
Awesome. Well, so who is really the OpenSpace product focused at? Are you looking at trade contractors, general contractors, owners? Who's your real, you know, users?
Yeah, it's really all of the above. You know, I mean, I think we started focusing on GCs, and I'd say that's probably most of our users. But now we've got real strong adoption with trades. A lot of owners are writing it right into the spec for the project. With the GCs, it's a lot of capturing maybe every other day, once a week, to really provide that context for the team. Trades tend to use them a lot more actively. They're using them to track progress, track team productivity. And then owners, again, love to have that sort of oversight and visibility into the project. We've got 100,000 active users on the platform. We've got our users have captured over 10 billion square feet in over 70 countries. And more of our customers are moving from using OpenSpace on one or two projects to really using it across their whole project portfolio.
That's awesome. Where can they learn more about OpenSpace?
Yeah, I'd point them to two places. One is openspace.ai. Check it out, look around. If you want to learn more, there's request a demo buttons all over the place, click that. The other one is we're going to be at a ton of trade shows and conferences, both sort of national ones like AU and Groundbreak, but also regional ones. So if you go to openspace.ai/events and see a calendar and, you know, stop by and say hi.
All right, Ariel, what do you got for us this week?
All right, so I got this one from Construction Dive. Rebart Time Robot slashes time on Wisconsin Bridge Project. And yes, you probably guessed it right. This is regarding TieBot, the Rebart Time Robot. Nonetheless, the reason I wanted to discuss this today, it's because I see this article as a case study, and let me tell you why. So TieBot enabled a human crew from a Wisconsin-based Rebart subcontractor, MKE Iron Erectors, to complete work on a bridge in Columbia County. TieBot accomplished almost 18,000 ties in two shifts in late April across a 7,700 square foot area. It was introduced in 2018 by the Pittsburgh-based Advanced Construction Robotics, and the machine ties reinforcing steel at a rate of over 1,100 ties per hour, and construction workers typically complete between 150 and 250 ties per hour. So let's put this in perspective. This is around 4 to 7 times as much work done. And just to quote the president of MKE, he says that having TieBot on our job site was a major asset to our crew as they finished the project on time and on budget. Less time means they will experience less physical stress, possibly extending their careers while avoiding strain injuries. So what do you think about that, Jeff?
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of advancing construction robotics and the TieBot itself. I think we kind of touched on this earlier in the show is this product doesn't work for everything, but it really is adapting to the process, and the companies that are using it and implementing it are adapting themselves to the way this thing can tie. And I will tell you, I have a background in a masonry company with concrete, with rebar tires, and rebar tying is freaking dangerous. Not only is it a strain, not only are all those things, and there's some advancement in that, if that tie pops, it's just dangerous. And so getting them away from and clearing it so you get speed, accuracy, and a far safer environment, that's awesome. I love that I got to see the IronBot, which is their next thing that they released at ConExpo ConAg this year, so I got a chance to check it out. It's carrying 5,000-pound bundles of rebar in an hour to carry in and install them. So basically, and James Benham's on record from the former crew chief saying, they're building a 3D printing bridge printer. They're building it. Well, piece by piece, it's an on-site 3D printed bridge. Man, think about the infrastructure bill, IIJA, and the things that we have to do. These are the things, the advancements that we need. Lance, I'm interested because this really changes the way we look at it. And, you know, you've got some experience, you know, in people process technology. What's your thought on a rebar tying robot?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with it. There is it's going to have its place, right? And the more we use these types of things, we're going to figure out all the way from the design down of what is the best way to design a project to utilize the technology that we have. So we've been so used to manually doing everything. And you're right, they made some advancements, right? You got the guns that can tie stuff a little quicker. It's not so much strain on you, but the up and down, bending over, you know, I always joked as a carpenter, none of your work was right here. You were either up here or you were down here. That was the only place. So shoulders, backs, knees, you're getting them beat up. So it's the same thing with this. Like, it's going to make life nice. You're not going to see the old broken down mason that walks with 5 limps and there's the fingers that are crunched and everything else. Or that's exciting news. I mean, it's going to be something that's going to be fun to watch and see how we keep advancing it.
Awesome. Ariel, what else you got for us this week?
This one says, Join releases new Autodesk Construction Cloud integration to make collaboration and document management easier. So Join users can now directly link Join items and milestones to document store in Autodesk Build, Autodesk Docs, or BIM 360 from within the Join workspace. The new integration streamlines how construction documents are shared between Join and Autodesk. Also, as the result of this, Jim said that we built this integration to help teams that use both Join and Autodesk Construction Cloud to easily orient around the same information and documents so that they can make better decisions and drive project forward. I know, Jeff, that this is also coming out for other platforms, so tell me a little bit about that.
I was excited and a little self-serving that they came out, and Jim's a, you know, Jim and I, truth and transparency, Jim and I work together, and this has always been part of the plan for Join in and of itself, right? Any good platform that exists in the industry has to find its place and find its niche, and we can't keep creating data silos, but you know, what Autodesk does, they do it really, really well, right? It's orienting people, it's creating the documents, it's creating the models, it's sharing models, it's doing all of those things. But what we here at Join are great at doing is really putting that information in perspective around decisions that need to get made. You know, Lance talked about it earlier. It's all about having the right information so you can make really good decisions, whether that's to pivot left or pivot right or substitute a material, et cetera. So think about that specs that we were talking about earlier. When you have a long lead time or you have a spec on something that you might not be able to get, how do you quickly raise an alternative so that you don't slow yourselves down? Great. Now you have that item somewhere in your Autodesk cloud and you can put it up in Join. The other thing we didn't want was sprawl. Right, data sprawl and losing track of information is a pain. So this was a really fun one for us to do over here. You're right, we've got a few others coming out along the way. So don't be surprised if you see a few more of those or have already seen a few more of those since this will be out in about a month. So I appreciate you bringing that one. And I'm interested, Lance, because you guys are on the ACC and you do a lot of work in there. How is integrations in general and you know, making sure platforms play nicely?
Yeah, I mean, that's huge for us because every single company does things slightly different. They use a slightly different product or whatever it is. So being able to have that communication and that integration has been large, whether it's, you know, if you're using Microsoft Project for scheduling and you want it to go into your project management software, that communication back and forth that needs to happen is a big deal. And like you're talking about the files, right? So how can you have that work with each other and how do you use it? That's, you can have all the information, but that's for all you talked about is a big deal. So I can keep track of everything, but if it just goes in a file and it's not organized and I can't access it quickly, it's not really helping me out. So the integration, the organization, man, that sounds great. I'm ready for it.
I like it. And if you guys want to learn anything more, you can always go stop by join.build.
All right, Jeff. So what do you got?
I have some fun this week, so I got to drop a little thank you to my boy, Pete Dumont. Pete always keep me on my toes. So we're going to go to Forbes on this one, and this is the home that gives housing a new future. So sometimes it's hard to start over with a completely clean slate, but with housing, that's the opportunity, and that's what Veev's CEO and co-founder, Amit Haller, did when he launched the company in 2008. And what he has continued to do every day since. So they're reimagining housing without the normal dictates of stakeholder operations has allowed Veev to create a new breed of housing with efficient design and construction progress that is sustainable, that uses minimal labor, that's high quality, and at a low price point. While we saw Katerra try to do something like this in the past, they were very sprawled. This is very specific around providing housing units. And what they've done here at Veev is really change the way we think about building. And some of the key statistics to this is that they can now, first of all, they have 30 patents pending. So they're really advancing the way that you build and the way that we manufacture homes, because that's really what they're doing. Another cool one, it's another California and Tel Aviv group. We're seeing a lot of innovation in Tel Aviv right now, and it's bringing a lot of new things to the industry. And what this is doing is allowing you to basically construct homes in 30 days. It lowers the amount of labor required because it's going through a manufacturing process, and it only takes 5 people and a crane to assemble it on site. Just think about the capacity there and the problems that we have in housing. But I also think about the waste. I spend a lot of time talking about 1 in 4 houses that we build gets thrown in the dumpster if you look at the materials that we use. So this is creating and reducing waste for us. It's reducing the waste, but it's also looking at new products and materials that we can do. There's, you know, the glass windows and the doors and the aluminum framed are so much different, but they're sound and energy insulated. See, one of the things about when you're building a stick built, you're not really sure what kind of quality you're going to get. And long term, homes cost more in operating and having to replace old windows and having to do energy audits to make sure that they're sealed up correctly and that you're really, you know, reducing your needs on how to maintain the home and heat the home and cool it. Thinking about it right now, I mean, how efficient are we cooling things off, right? So Lance, I'm kind of interested because you come from the carpentry space. And so looking at how quickly they can do this, it's interesting.
Man, that really narrows it down. You talk about production building, right? That's one way to definitely hammer that through and get it done. I had a professor that brought up something like this when I was at Ferris. He said, the first company that can figure out how to mass produce something like that and almost production do it is gonna hit the industry, and they're gonna find a niche for themselves and really make a difference. And that was 20 years ago we were talking about that. So it's interesting coming from that. I know guys who are on the production side with, you know, building residential areas and things like that, and it really, they'd love it. I mean, that's money in the bank for them, right? So the faster you get it up, the faster you get people in it, the better it's going to be, and the more long term you're going to have. That's great.
Ariel, I'm interested in what your thoughts were on it.
This could be a unicorn by itself, and definitely it's something to pay attention. I'm going to attach it to something that it's a little bit more, I would say, human. As you know, we got the Sustainable Development Goals by the United Nations, and one of the goals is industry, innovation, and infrastructure, and the other one would be sustainable cities and communities. This could play a big, big role there when we talk about the housing situation that we have worldwide. So hopefully this is something that can speed up how we can build homes. I will have to take a look at this product and see, obviously, the target, but this can definitely be used later on for other type of housing as well.
That's good stuff, man. And so give it a look, give it, check it out. Tell me if we're right or wrong. You can always follow us online and come up. Now, this is an interesting one because yours truly has bounced around on AI and been a proponent of it and also been someone who's telling people to watch the hype curves and be a little careful. So on this one, I'm going to bring a good one. UpCodes launches Copilot, an AI-based research assistant for building codes. So building codes are one of the hardest things to deal with. And UpCodes has been fighting along the way, but been around for about 7 years. And they've been ingesting the building codes across the country. And if you know this, there is such a layered issue when it comes to it. You have federal guidelines, state guidelines, local guidelines, municipal guidelines. Like this is a tough one for designers and architects. And as they're building, this takes up time. We talk about, you know, rework and the speed of getting things done and being productive. So UpCodes went ahead and, you know, leveraged ChatGPT, and they're calling it their Copilot. And it's a spell check for code errors, right? This is the ability for them to design housing, design products, design things, and run them through with this Copilot and catch your errors before they become a problem. The back and forth of what Lance talked about before when it comes to RFIs and local codes, you know, and having to keep your eyes on things at times, that's very hard to do and it's a lot of work. So it's really cool to see that UpCodes has really done this and put it together. It's kind of cool to see Building Ventures, one of the leading VC firms for construction disruption, to be a part of it and to be a part of the next series for them. So they got a Series A or a pre-Series A announced, and it brings their total raise to $7.6 million. So there's a lot of money behind this one, and I think it's a big issue, right? Having a spell check for your code and code issues is going to be a big one. Ariel, I'm wondering, finally seeing some of this ChatGPT and AI and construction bring some value.
Man, ChatGPT, also known at the office as Mohammed. He's my intern. So we get him to do a bunch of stuff, and it's just amazing. I'm thinking about, you know, modernizing the codes is basically what UpCode is trying to do, just finding a way of making sure that we have that code compliance. And I mean, this is a natural next step, being able to create that large language model, connecting all those codes from different states and be able to just make it easier on the architects. That is awesome, man. That is awesome.
Yeah, Lance, I'm wondering, you know, you've got a lot of experience with codes and the issues it creates. I'm wondering your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue I've had has been with the building officials. You know, it's all for interpretation. That's kind of how I've always looked at the building code book, is it depends on who's reading it and how they're going to tell you to, how they interpret it and how they tell you to build it. So, but I think this would be huge. It's going to put a lot of them on notice, right? So, because we're going to be able to find it. You're going to make sure the architect knows what they're talking about, the engineer knows what they're talking about, and you're going to be able to find that local code a lot quicker. So you can have the knowledge base when you're having inspections, and when the stuff's going up, you can talk to the different subs and make sure they know what they're looking for. So you don't run into those issues of interpretation laws later on.
I just love this. I'm gonna end it with this stat. So everybody listening kind of knows and has a little bit of respect for perspective when it comes to our architect friends, because they get beat up a little bit. So I'm going to give them some love here in that, in addition to 5 million code sections that they host, that means there's 5 million that they were able to ingest, probably a few more that they haven't even been able to get to. It also hosts 160,000 local amendments, and the codes are constantly changing. So UpCodes updates about 7,000 each month on average. Just think of that. I mean, just think of the speed and the simplicity that we can really turn to our architects and focus on what they care about, right? They care about designing spaces that deliver for their owners that then can be constructed by their construction partners. So I really think this is a powerful one. And I really think it's a great way to end, because, you know, let's get faster. Let's get better. That's been part of it. Let's get to the field. Let's make a change. Lance, I want to thank you so much for sitting down and joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun. Enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, and I'm looking forward to the follow through, Ariel, at AGCIT Forum, and great to have you sitting down with me today.
Awesome time, and see you guys at AGCIT in Chicago in August. You must be there.
And thank you for tuning in today to Geek Out for our interview with Lance Aiken. To read all our news stories, learn more about our guests, and to listen to this show, visit thecontechcrew.com. This is the Contech Crew signing out. Until next time, enjoy the ride and geek out.